Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
Not coming from the government per se, but the premier. It's coming from the health sector. Holy Christ. I just swallowed a bee.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Swing at a high fly center field. It is Kike making the catch to retire the side and end the game. And the Red Sox hang on to make it four wins in their last five games as they beat the Pirates 5-3.
Andy Gresh.
We want to make sure everybody comes out there with the juice. None of that fake juice, just the confidence.
I'm just saying.
Rich Keefe.
God complex, I am God.
If you go like a puppy, stay on the porch and let the big dogs eat.
Gresh and Keefe right now.
Really accentuates the butt cheeks.
On WEEI.
Oh, among the many things that we're going to dive into in our final day of training camp here at Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart is in for the next 3 days as Keefe has run to the hills. I don't know which hills. I don't know if it's the hills of New Hampshire, the hills of New York.
Hell, blue.
Could be the Blue Hills, Dix Hills. Who knows?
Where's Dix Hills?
New York.
Oh.
Either New York or New Jersey, one of the two. I know from the years on the fan, there would always be someone from Dix Hills.
Dix Hills.
I would always have a good hearty guffaw. And, well, we're here at Patriots training camp for day two of joint practices. And the one thing that Andy Hart and I do definitely agree on is today there will be no fights.
No chance. I mean, I can't say no chance just because I don't know the totality of the Panthers roster and the level of idiocy of any of the specific members, but it would pretty much stun me if there was a fight today.
Well, it would have stunned people if Malcolm Butler didn't make the roster, considering he's one of the Patriots of years past. And I know for a lot of fans, it was, wow, welcome Malcolm back. It's a blanket. It's Linus's blanket. It's something that we know. It's comfortable. Well, along with Jawan Williams, we are not going to see Malcolm Butler this year. And Andy, it's twofold. Number one, you got two corners now that you cross off the list, which means it's going to be time for the Youngs even sooner. But also, made it easy to get down to that 85 at training camp. So two guys that are out, two that I think for at least maybe you and I and some others weren't necessarily counting on very much. But it does kind of announce that the Patriots are going to have to rely on these draft picks this year.
Yeah, you know, anytime you have a couple young cornerbacks, I think sometimes people are like, oh, are they going to get the Foxborough flu? Are they going to be a year of development before we see them? This is, I think, the opposite of that. I think you have, two veterans that certainly Jawan Williams, you know, days were numbered and now the days are over.
They did him a solid, didn't they?
Best thing that ever happened to him, because not only does he collect a paycheck for this year, but now it gives him next year. He's coming off an injury, former second round pick. Somebody will sign him and at least give him a shot.
You'll get a chance.
If he gets cut now, somebody probably picks him up and then realizes, oh, wait, he's not that good. His career might end this year.
This guy can't play.
He gained, I think, another year of his career here with this injury. And then Malcolm Butler, coming off of retirement, 32 years old, not really having a great camp, playing the whole, whatever that was, a quarter and a half plus 20-something snaps in the first preseason game when anybody who was going to be on the roster wasn't playing. I thought the writing was on the wall that he might not be on this team. So two older guys out of the mix. You still have numbers there. You still have – it's not obvious who the corners are going to be, but I do think this is continuing to go down the road of Marcus Jones can return, can play the slot. Jack Jones shows a little something on the outside. Got a little, I keep saying he might have a little Otis Smith to him where he's going to make some plays and give up some plays and be aggressive and probably double move. Somebody's going to get him on a double move and go over the top of him. But you know what? He might get somebody on a break, on an out cut or something where he picks it off. So, yeah, I'm intrigued by the young corners, and I think there's some interesting decisions still to be made at corner.
Well, and you and I will sort of unpack the corner spot in about 20 minutes from now because it really is, I think, one of the two big storylines that is developing in camp. I know there are a lot of people that are kind of going nuts over not having the name there, the name guy that you could say that is the number one corner. We'll start to unpack that. But one of the guys in the secondary who he isn't a corner, he isn't a linebacker, he's kind of a safety, but I don't really know how to describe Adrian
Phillips. Football player, just good football player.
There you go.
He's football player. Football guy.
And we kind of joked to start today that, you know, even though the roster is down to 85, there was some woofing, there was some barking, there was some beefing between these two teams yesterday. And, well, Adrian Phillips kind of put all of that woofing into perspective.
Did it feel like it took you guys a little bit of time to kind of match that?
No. Not even a little bit. Like, you know, we ain't with all the rah-rah stuff and stuff like that. It looks good in front of the fans, but we just out here to practice. So, I can't speak for what they were doing on this side, but we all about business on our side, so.
You insinuated that they were a little bit
faithful. I'm not insinuating nothing. You know, what they do over there is what they do. If that's how they get crunk at their practice, then that's how they get crunk. I'm not insinuating nothing because I'm not over there, but all I'm saying is just, like, you know, we definitely have guys on our team that do rah-rah and stuff like that, but more times than not, we just worried about what we do inside the lines.
Andy Gresh, how do you get crunk?
Oh, I can't say that on the air. You know what? Sometimes I'm Reese McGuire in a parking lot, and sometimes I'm Ron Jeremy. There you go. Yep, just that's right. You know how John gets crunk is he flies out of his shoes at weddings.
I did see that on Twitter.
I think for you, it's a something light on a boat.
That's probably, and I'm not sure that qualifies as crunk. I've never actually been totally sure what the definition of crunk is.
I think it's
these nuts.
It's a bit of a sliding.
We all are a little different crunk in our own ways.
Yes, but so there's Adrian Phillips being like, yeah, they can do whatever they need to. And by the way, everyone's going through individuals again, so
yep.
It's as if it's the start of practice for each team, and all of the individual position groups are kind of broken out into where they need to go. You have the fats down on the far end of the field. You have the linebackers working on one end. You got the DBs doing their drills. You got the four-cone passing drill that Troy Brown is kind of leading everybody through, so we're waiting for the team period to start. But the good and bad of yesterday,
yeah.
When you joined us in the 1 o'clock hour, we get into a lot of the good stuff. In retrospect, what didn't go right yesterday in joint practice?
Well, I would say, first of all, I disagree with Adrian Phillips, what he just said.
The rah-rah?
I thought it took the offense some time to get up to speed.
Okay.
You know, I did think that in an initial 7-on-7 on the field to our left, that the Panthers' defense, and Phillips wouldn't see that. Phillips was on the far field.
That's right.
Patriots' offense got pushed around a little bit by the Patriots' defense. There was a couple plays where Panthers were punching balls out kind of late, and you know, the offensive player wasn't necessarily maybe finishing the rep, quote-unquote.
That felt like coach said, hey, make sure you guys are knocking the ball out on these
Correct.
Dudes.
Yeah. And I think it caught Jonnu Smith and a couple other Patriots a little off guard or a little aback for a second. And then from there on out, I thought they were good. I would also say offensive line, there continues to be some issues with protection, mm-hmm. opening holes for the run game. It's funny, somebody asked Damian Harris about, you know, are there creases? Are there holes to be had? And how's the blocking up front? And, and he was like, huh, you kind of stumped me there. That's an interesting question. And I thought that was telling because I don't think there's been a hell of a lot of holes for these backs.
He didn't roll out. Through. That's a ridiculous question.
No.
Like he did to Rich
nope.
Keefe.
Nope. He
Keefe
did
will
not.
Hate him forever.
He. Yeah, I think they'll both hate each other forever maybe on that one.
That's a ridiculous question.
So Keefe has a little bit of, you know, Damian Harris and John Farrell can have a drink somewhere at some point and talk about their hate for Keith.
They all go on your boat.
Yes, we'll all go out. We'll go lobstering somewhere. Farrell
can
show
us
where to catch the good ones.
Farrell gets you some good lobster
rolls. Much rather catch them than buy them.
There you go.
But yeah, I thought the offensive line and this whole thing where, you know, they've gone down the Yadni Kajust road after the Justin Herron road, and you know, what is Isaiah Wynn? Is he going to be out there? Is he going to be healthy? You know, I heard Kyrie Thompson, who will join us, I think, in the 1 o'clock hour.
1 o'clock, yep.
On the morning show today, kind of recapping yesterday and sort of wondering, wait, is there a chance you're better than when Kajust's out there? Is Wynn not that good at right tackle? Is Wynn not that good at
Let's
these new zone blocking
slow
schemes?
The roll just
Understood.
Yet. Yeah.
But I do think, because I've seen some advancements from Mack. I thought Mack in the passing game took some steps forward yesterday.
Yeah.
The next step, I think, that'll the run game, pass game is, let's see the offensive line look comfortable. Let's see the offensive line. We all raved about the defensive front dominating the Panthers yesterday.
No question.
When are we going to see the offensive line maybe dominate somebody?
Yeah, I think it's going to take a bit. I really do. I don't think we're going to see the best version of this offensive line in terms of what you're talking about until we get them in a real preseason game.
Yep.
Because, you know, you can do the practice speed and joint practices, and you can tell people, hey, crank it up to 100%. But it'll be, hey, crank it up. But make sure you stay up. Don't cut anybody.
Don't go down, which I hate.
Which
is impossible.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
Bill Samko at Tufts University used to always yell, stay the up. And I'm like, you stay the up.
Yeah, it's you stay up. Like, that's right.
It's hard to go full speed for three steps, but make sure no one goes down. And, God forbid, don't take a fourth step at full speed.
You know, I know that second and third level players are getting smaller just in terms of size. You used to have the old 260-pound Ted Johnson-type linebacker in there. Those days are gone. However, because those guys are quicker, if you're an offensive lineman, you got to have the ability to cut block and pull their pins and reach them to be able to find a way to get the running game going. And when you say, hey, make sure you go full speed, but don't cut anybody, don't get on the ground, it's like, what are we doing here? It's hard enough for an offensive line that knows what they're doing and that is cohesive to operate in those circumstances. Like in the passing game, it's very different. In the passing game, you can kind of turn it loose a little bit. But in the run game, even in situations like this, I think we're really not going to see the best of it until we see that starting five in a real game where they don't have to worry about, hey, all bets are off. We can let it out. We can let it and go fly and block people the way we need to. That said, it would be nice to get more consistency.
Yep.
And I think really that's what you're looking for. There are no longer corners in the NFL that don't get burned, right? There's no more Deion Sanders in the 90s where it would take Jerry Rice to really challenge the guy. There's no more offensive lines that don't have issues in the NFL because we've got more blitzing, we've got faster defensive players, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be disjointed at times. But yesterday felt like they kind of looked like an offense. And to me, that's the big takeaway, that even though there are those hiccups, they didn't look inept. And at times it was like, oh, my God, is this group going to be inept on offense?
And the offensive line, beyond the limitations or sort of natural progression of training camp and physicality and preseason and regular season, all that, you have more zone runs. They're putting in more zone runs. They're learning some new things with some new players.
Does Onwenu fit the scheme?
I think that's a great question, and I think they wondered that. Early in camp, if you remember, one of the hits I did with you, it was what's his name? Arlington Hambright is rotating through with the first group.
Arlington Hambright.
And now they've backed off on that, so I don't know if he wasn't quite as good as they thought he was, and it's like, but I think there are some questions there, and you know, I do think Cole Strange is well-suited for it, but he's still a rookie out of Chattanooga who's going to have some
growth
and learning period.
But he'll be fine. He hasn't been completely overwhelmed.
No, but he won't be perfect either. He won't look like a fourth, fifth-year guard, just, you know, this is what I do and I know what I'm doing.
It's not going to be Shaq Mason out of the chute.
So, you know, that and then sort of this weirdness with the coaching as well. You know, Matt Patricia's the coach until he isn't, and then Billy Yates is the coach, and couple different voices in there. So I think the offensive line faces the normal natural challenges of August and then some unique different challenges of August, and there's probably a reason why they don't look like one consistent cohesive unit firing out all five guys doing the same thing.
You know, I also mentioned yesterday, and I want to get to this with you as well, even in the good years, even when Tom Brady was here,
yep,
the first 4 weeks were a work in progress.
Oh, sure.
We need to examine that coming up because I wonder if, A, there'll be a different sense of purpose going into those games or if that still applies. Andy Hart is in for Keith for the next couple of days. We are at Patriots training camp, and our training camp coverage on WEEI is brought to you by Zudy. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy, that's Zudy.com for your free trial. New England Spine Care, we've got your back at anyspinecare.com. Henry Elliott and Company, the interoperability staffing partner of the healthcare IT industry at henryelliott.com. Good morning to those of you in the Twitch chat. You are all up and running and fired up and ready to go. Of course, you can text us at 37937, and you can listen anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. This B is back, so we, of course it is, right near my coffee, right? There we go. But I'm going to turn into a Rob Ford's brother. Was it Dan Ford or whatever the hell? Peter Ford?
Doug.
Doug Ford. There we go. Yeah, I'm going to turn into Doug Ford and have to swallow a bee again. So I'm just going to kill this thing. I know you're not supposed to kill these kind of bees.
What did he do to you? He's just flying around. Maybe you're in his space.
How about here? Here you go.
He's got a damn stinger on him. That's why.
Take a drink right out of that thing.
Jeez, don't judge a book by its cover.
Man, oh man. But I don't want. We already got Petey Heat once. I don't need that again.
Because he's got a stinger doesn't mean he's going to use it.
And we didn't bring the catcher down here until you get stung and then you swell up great big. Yeah, right.
It'd be
exactly.
Funny. It'd be a good bit.
Yeah, then you'll
a good bit for the show.
You get stung on the forehead. Next thing you know, you turn into Shrek. We're like, what's going on here? We will get to what did we
Holy
learn?
Christ.
What did we learn about the Patriots offense yesterday? We'll talk about the corners and get into the Pats with you at 617-779-7937. Much to the chagrin of the folks in the 413, here's John. He's ready to trend.
Okay, guys. Sorry about that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It feels great because, I mean, that's what it's going to be in the game. Sometimes when you go into those hostile environments, whether it may be Buffalo or something like that, like, you know, it's just gonna be the guys on that field, and you need your guys on the sideline to kind of amp you up a little bit. So we put it on each other, you know. We want to make sure everybody comes out there with the juice. And none of that fake juice, just the confidence. Like, when you vote confidence and when you have that real confidence in the stuff that you're doing, the juice comes with it. So you can see that out there today.
Yo, you juicing this morning, y'all? You got the juice rolling like Adrian Phillips just talked about? The juice. Is this Megan Thee Stallion, John?
No, this is Janelle Monáe. Much better than Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, well.
I've never heard that name in my life.
Who? Megan Thee Stallion?
No,
or
whatever,
or
Monáe.
Janelle Monáe? Oh, you definitely
Janelle
have.
Monáe.
Monáe, Manáe, Tippy Tippy Day Day.
She featured on that fun song, Some Nights, from like 10 years ago. That's how she broke out. She's an actress, too. She's in like Moonlight and stuff.
Oh, got it.
I don't.
There's a segment of people
Andy?
Who
need me to
do.
Repeat that?
Yeah. yeah.
No hablo inglés. Necesito más.
Now, all of a sudden, Andy became somebody doing Patriots. Like, you're a Patriot, and you're giving a press conference now.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Yep. I have nothing to say.
Baseball been
very,
very good to me.
There you go. Go Sammy Sosa. So we got some one-on-ones going on in terms of individual offensive defensive matchups. The Patriots receivers are matching up against the very handsy Carolina defensive backs, and conversely, you got the Patriots DBs over there that are working against it actually looks like kind of working out of a different set. So it's more one-on-ones over here in the goal line for the Patriots receivers, and the Patriots defenders are really in blocks of two-on-two.
Yep.
Defending, really, I guess you'd say, a bunch set or a stack set with the wide receivers and trying to get different kinds of work in on each field here.
So the
it's fascinating to
the
watch.
Field in front of us, the Patriots receivers versus Panthers defenders. When the Panthers defenders don't hold somebody and draw two flags from all directions, they don't cover anybody. The Patriots have been toasting. Other than J.C. Horn had a nice pass defense early.
He did.
But, I mean, there literally has to – we have to be at about 60 to 70% of these plays are ending in flags
yep.
on this field right here. The refs just take it out, put it back in. Take
you
it
know,
out, put it back in.
And, Andy, it's interesting because when Keith and I were here, because we weren't here last week, so it would have been 2 weeks ago, I know that the Patriots were doing drills with the defensive backs in the red area where they put, like, the pads on their hands as
yep.
if they were kind of sparring with a boxer. And I know that a lot of – I've seen a lot of college football teams kind of do the same
yep.
thing. So it feels like the teaching techniques have kind of changed it, at least in this part of the field, whereas – Carolina's grabbing all over the place. I've only seen but about one or two flags on the Patriot defenders.
Yeah, and maybe that comes from using those boxing gloves that they've done that for a couple years now. And, I mean, that's the NFL game. They're going to call it. When they see the shirt pull out, if you grab a – like, I look back at the way Ty Law used to play. He was known for that.
He would have been
– subtle grab but effective grab.
Yep.
I don't think he gets away with it now.
No.
And it might have changed his game. I'm not going to say it would have changed the outcome because maybe he adjusts and he was still an elite cover
guy. When you're an all-time great, you kind of figure it out.
But, I mean, that's definitely the way the game is played now is you can't get handsy in it. A lot of times it's the young guys that struggle with it because they get away with it a little more at the
mm-hmm.
college level. And then you get to the NFL and it's like flag, 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 and you know, the refs are watching you. But, no, I thought the Patriots have done a good job with that and maybe that drilling. And I did. What was it? I saw Clemson the other day was doing it.
Yeah. Dabo was all over it.
Even to the point where I think Sean Wade was in a team drill wearing them where you weren't supposed to have him on the goal line. And he still knocked the ball down and got the job done.
I mean, that's what you're looking for.
Still weighted bad. It'll make things easier moving forward.
Well, you know what? And we will get to what we learned about the Patriots offense yesterday. But let's get to this Patriots defense. And we do it with you at 617-779-7937. So with two corners going on IR yesterday and Jawan Williams and Malcolm Butler, we now have the following corners on the roster as of right now. Now, remember, folks, your roster is at 53. You do have the ability to put some players on the practice squad that you didn't used to. So there are some vagaries in the practice squad now that allow you to stash players differently outside of the, as I call it, and Andy, I know you described it earlier, the Patriots layaway plan,
yep.
where you're just sort of saying, okay, we're gonna pay you in installments to just go away, and we'll reserve our right to use you either down the road or next year. But here's the corner depth right now. You have Jalen Mills, John Jones, Jack Jones, Marcus Jones.
It's a lot of Joneses.
We're missing Jesus Jones. That's about it. You have Terrence Mitchell, Miles Bryant, Sean Wade, Justin Bethel. That's a healthy corner group.
Yeah.
That's a lot of guys. How do they find a way to keep, I don't know, all of them on the roster? Are there two guys, Andy, fighting for a spot? Because you got to figure, Mills, all three Jones boys, and I would dare say Mitchell and maybe even Miles Bryant are locks. Is it really down to Wade and Bethel, or do you think New England tries to find a way to keep all of these guys in the program somehow?
Well, first of all, Bethel's an interesting one because he's a special teamer. He's a gunner. He's a core guy. I always take note when Mike Reese throws stuff out there because I don't think Mike Reese throws stuff out there too often without any knowledge or insight. And he, very early in camp, was like, might be tough for Justin Bethel to make the roster this year. And when he I always just put that in the back of my mind.
So yeah.
You got that to look at. Miles Bryant is a guy that I thought was going to fight an uphill battle to make the roster. And then I look out there, he had the punt returns in the preseason game where he looked very good at it, even though he hasn't done it since high school.
That's right.
Apparently. And then yesterday, he was with the ones as the slot guy, with Jonathan Jones bumping out to the outside and Miles Bryant in the slot. So the guys with the ones getting good, high-quality reps, that says they kind of like him. And Sean Wade is the guy that, if you made me say who's on the outside looking in,
feels like it's him, right?
The only problem is, because of the name and sort of who he is, he's been traded once already, you know, not even a year into his career from Baltimore to New England.
Hey, 2 years ago, people thought he was going to be a lock first-round pick.
Yes.
And then the Big Ten kerfluffle about playing and not, and he got lost in the shuffle of all that.
I don't know that you get him through waivers when you cut him at the end of camp to sneak him onto the practice squad, to develop him for another year, to develop him behind the scenes without taking up a roster spot. I don't think all these guys can make the roster. Now, I will say, it's August. What do we got? August 17th. We got a couple weeks. These things tend to
they usually do.
Play
Somebody
themselves
gets
out.
Hurt.
You got a preseason game. This guy's hurt. He goes on
short-term
IR.
Short-term IR for eight weeks fixes the problem.
Although even that isn't the be-all, end-all, because with that, the guy has to be on the roster to start the year.
That's right.
Be cut. Then you put him on IR. Then he's eligible to return after. So you're still in a weird numbers mix.
So you got to work out the, we're going to release you, but you're coming right back to us. Like, you pre-negotiate the deal, tell him to wait, do what you need to do transactionally, and then welcome whomever back into the organization.
And they've had those guys over the years, the Brandon Boldens, where he's cut, and it's like, we'll see in a couple weeks, or we might see in a couple days once we move through all our transactions.
Didn't they do that with Hoyer once? It was like, listen, stay here, we'll cut you, we'll bring you back.
That's another guy they could do it with again.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's another guy where you could probably steal a roster spot, and then he stays around, he is your guy, who's going to claim him? Like, And look at you on your A game early on.
I love the roster manipulation because I think it drives people crazy. They can't figure out, how does Bill sort of pull this off? Listen, all these
How do you
teams
think those of
it?
Us that do roster projections feel?
Exactly.
Because we don't have the loopholes. You can't put an asterisk and put, like, I'm going to release Hoyer and tell him to stay close, and I'm going to put this guy on
That's
the Foxborough.
Right. Yep.
We actually have to do just 53 guys.
Which is very difficult to do. And they keep changing the rules of the practice squad where, normally 12-year vested veteran Brian Hoyer wouldn't have sniffed the practice
squad. Now it's pretty much everybody. Now almost everybody's eligible. I'll be honest with you, I don't know the couple minutia rules that eliminate people, but almost everybody is eligible for the practice squad.
So that does sort of change things in terms of your roster building, let alone the fact that this is a highly competitive situation. And Hart, you mentioned it organically. Jonathan Jones as an outside corner?
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm very interested to see more of this, although I am much less optimistic about his success on the outside than people coming around to embracing Jalen Mills. And it's interesting because when we talk about these outside corners, it's, what about Jonathan Jones? And if his name were Jalen Ramsey, not Jalen Mills, then everybody would be like, hot damn. It's like you change the name. Not that Jalen Mills is the exact player of Jalen Ramsey, but he's played really well here. And yesterday, Adrian Phillips talked about Jalen Mills becoming the quote-unquote number one corner.
Adrian, I think Jalen got his hands on three passes today, including one in the end zone there. What are you seeing behind the scenes that we can't see when he's making plays like that?
Just
confidence in his work ethic. You know, he wants to be able to take that next step and be the guy. He carries himself like that, and he came in last year, and he played well for us, and now, you know, we move on from JC. JC goes out to the West Coast, and now it's like, well, you know, it's Jalen, and he's stepping into the role, and he's doing his thing, and he's out there, he's confident, and he's locked in every single day. Like, that's one thing nobody can say about Jay Mills is that, like, he took a day off, because he's never taken no day off. Every time we get out here, he comes out here and says, championship defense, championship mindset. Like, he's locked in, and you can see it in his eyes.
So it sounds like a lot of, like, quarterback one kind of behavior. Like,
I mean, you know, I ain't making the decisions, but he's out there, like, if it's time to go, he wants to be the guy that they call on, so.
Bill Belichick had a funny line on the whole, well, we don't number people, da-da-da. Right. But what do you make of the, as of now, August 17th, outside corners?
Jalen Mills is your number one corner. Mm-hmm. Whether that makes him a true number one corner or, you know, talking about sliding into like a J.C. Jackson role or even before that, Stephon Gilmore. Or the,
yep.
Sort of the lineage of almost always having one of those guys that was a Pro Bowl caliber number one corner. Malcolm Butler was in that mold for a while. Like, everybody
short
along
time,
the way,
yep.
They had more often than not, or almost always, when Belichick has a good defense, he has a number one corner. When he doesn't, he goes and finds one because he needs one. Whether he's paying $65 million to Stephon Gilmore for it, trading for Aqib Talib in the middle of the season.
Great move.
Go or Darrell Revis. Like, there's been a variety of ways he's got developed them.
Yep.
Butler, Asante Samuel, some of those guys inherited a Ty Law. The number one cornerback position in New England's been important. It's been tied into winning and having good defenses. Jalen Mills is the number one corner, but is he a number one corner?
And
I think your point's great. If we were just talking about, let's just flip Jack Jones and Jalen Mills.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody would be like, wow, great camp, because Jalen Mills has been great. He's been productive, energetic. I buy all the work ethic stuff that you hear Phillips talking about, but we also know who he's been for his career.
Yep.
It's a little like Nelson Aguilar. He can come out here and have great practices, but you know who Nelson Aguilar has been for the – and we have a Patriot that is down face first on the turf. Been very physical over here in a special teams drill, kickoff return.
And by the way, there's no fights, but there's woofing going on because
yes.
It looked like somebody got foo-barred on a kickoff. So there they come together again.
Yep.
Here we go once again. After a knockout on special teams, they've come together to start woofing at each other. The coaches are in between. Bill Belichick is yelling at everyone. Meanwhile, someone is down face first on the turf. When we find out who it is, we'll bring it to you. What are we having for lunch?
That wasn't bad.
Thank you.
But yes. So we don't call that a fight, though, because we predicted there'd
nope,
be
no
fights.
Fight.
But
there's no fight there. They're just barking at each other. It's like you yelling at a umpire in a game.
Correct. But there's certainly some juice being brought on the field early on.
Oh, look at that.
Maybe
at
real
you.
Juice, maybe fake juice. I still think.
Is it crunk juice? Did somebody get crunk or cranked out there?
Somebody got cranked by the looks of it. And I still think that.
You smoke crank,
the
then
Patriots,
you use your crunk. Sorry.
The impression I get is early in these practices, the Patriots feel like the Panthers are playing at a level that's higher than we were told we were playing at in these seconds. Right?
This is preseason game number two for them, it feels like.
Yes, and they're a team with something to prove. They're a coach with something to prove, right? They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a coach. They may not have a future in Carolina right now, not with the group that's currently constructed. And I think that might have to do with this. Like, they're trying to prove something. And the Patriots aren't really taking kindly to some of it. But there are still a number of medical people around. I don't know who it was.
I was just kind of riffing and reacting. And we'll try to see what people are tweeting and if it could find out who the player is. However, you were talking about if it were Jalen Ramsey. And I think, you know what, that's a better analogy. If Jack Jones, who was, hey, this guy was going to be something and he kind of lost his way, but boy, Belichick might have found one. If the way Jalen Mills had played and reacted was Jack Jones, people would be saying, hot damn, they found themselves another first-round corner.
Right. And yet, because you have the history, I mean, let's be honest, Jalen Mills was brought here to be a jack-of-all-trades in the back end, not necessarily a starting cornerback, not necessarily your number one cornerback. And here we are. He's your number one cornerback. And as you said, they don't have anybody else you feel great about. There might be a bunch of guys that can play and be competitive and be pieces in the back end of the defense, but it doesn't seem like they have anybody else that they can really count on. So,
Now we got to fight.
Yep. Now we got to fight.
We're wrong.
Full-fledged brouhaha.
Now we got to fight. Here come the Patriots to the other side. There was a cheap shot thrown by someone. Christian Barmore went running in. The fans are going wild. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's a fight on field two. Over near the fans, the children are horrified. More of the Patriots are running. The fats are even running over. The fats are running over for this fight.
Yeah, this is nuts. And
there is a scrum, Andy Hart.
The player that started this two plays ago is being carted off. He is being helped by two or three guys to the far end of the field. Looks like they're pulling a card up to get him off. I still can't see the
number. What in the world is going on right now? I think that was a Patriot that initiated that one.
Well, I think they're pissed off.
That felt like
I don't think they like what the Panthers have done for the last day and a half.
I'm kind of with you on that. And
they're not going to take it. They're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it
anymore.
Well,
you know what's interesting is
Zach Cox is saying it's Christian Wilkerson who got laid out by Panthers DB Kenny Robinson and was still down on the field.
The two guys who fought yesterday. Those were the two guys that were ejected in the first fight yesterday before Bourne. So they still have some bad blood, and whatever happened, you have, if that is indeed Wilkerson, he's sitting on a cart down the far end of the field looking like he's about ready to get driven off.
This is more of a – this is like a Aqib Talib, Michael Crabtree, you snatch my chain situation these two.
Bad
Not
blood.
Saying that it's over a chain, but, yeah, the whole beefing between the two and all that stuff. But I'll tell you – The Patriots, unlike yesterday where they were slow to kind of get over to the other field, no. This time, there you go. And Belichick has pulled them into the middle.
Yep.
It looks like Matt Rhule is kind of doing the same thing with his team. So they come together once again to try to calm the tempers down. Isn't it interesting, though, that considering there was the beef, that they kind of started some of the team stuff with the special teams period in terms of the physicality.
Right.
Because when you're throwing the ball and you're trying to, you know, yeah, you're working against each other, but it's a defensive back and a wide receiver, that's one thing. Running full speed, like.
And it appears Dietrich Wise is leaving the field, so I can only surmise that maybe he was thrown out. A member of
Wonder if he was the one who
on
kind of croaked somebody over there.
Could be, because if you remember, he had a lot of energy yesterday. He had a great practice, but he was bringing it, and he was strutting back after making plays.
Ekwonu, who got, by the way, after yesterday's practice, they named the 6th overall pick the starting left tackle. What a day to do it on when Dietrich Wise kind of spun him around a little bit. So both teams have come together for a tongue-lashing from the coaches.
Yeah, this is I've never really seen this with Patriots practices in 20 years, joint practices. We see these on TV all the time. You see sports and, there were 6 fights between these two teams.
Oh, this will be on there. Get ready. This will probably hit their air before 11 a.m.
Yeah, so this is interesting. And, Matt Rhule has his team all down on one knee and is being very demonstrative in his speech. And the Patriots, it's funny, you got two huddles that are like 5 yards apart telling them not to fight.
Exactly. I'm almost surprised that the coaches just didn't like get everybody together and both guys are kind of lecturing everyone, but everybody is sort of talking to their teams and you want the competitiveness, but hopefully this will calm down to where it doesn't keep.
And you got a guy that just got carted off, so
you got to be
careful.
Now
only are guys being removed and losing reps because they're fighting and ejected, now you got a guy that's injured, and you're just not putting together a productive environment. You've crossed that line into idiocy and counterproductive.
Yes, that's radio. 617-779-7937. The Red Sox apparently still have a little bit of fight in them. Their night in Pittsburgh next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a ground ball hit by the diving first baseman at a right field, a base hit. Pham scores. Rafi gets held at third. It was hit very hard, and 1-0 in favor of the Red Sox as Verdugo drives in his 55th run with a hard ground ball pitch. Swing. There's a line shot to right center field. He gets down for a base hit, and it'll score. Devers swinging a high fly ball left field, not very deep. Left fielder coming hard. Shortstop out, and it dropped by the shortstop. O'Neill Cruz, and a run scores. 3-0 Boston. Bases loaded.
Joe Castiglione breaking down a very active first inning for the Red Sox in Pittsburgh. 1049 Gresham Keefe. Hard is in for Keefe the next couple of days, and we are here at Patriots training camp where there has not been a fight in the last 15 minutes. We also have a part of the reason you hear the cheer is because an interception made by Marcus Jones on a tip ball is why everyone is cheering, not because Andy Hart is in the building. So we just want to get that squared away and cleared up. But Red Sox got a 4-0 lead early on, never looked back. 5-3 was the final. The guy that we had talked about, O'Neill Cruz, the 6'7" shortstop of the Pittsburgh Pirates, with a big error there early on. And more importantly, Hart, the Red Sox got another good start out of Nick Pivetta once again, 7 shutout innings. That followed up a 3-run, 6-inning performance. And Red Sox starters in the last 6 games, a 2.39 ERA. And they've allowed no runs in their last 15 innings in terms of the starters now.
That'll work.
Bullpen can't.
Well, that'll
that's
play.
The point, right? Like, that's why they've won 4 out of 5 is because they're getting some good starting pitching. And don't look now. They're just a game under 500. Oh, doctor.
Is that what positivity is these days? Is
well,
that the package
you know,
it comes in? And I will say,
and like, they're only 4 back of the last wild card spot,
which is the Orioles. You're trail. No, they're out of it. You're trailing the Orioles, though. I just can't get over the
Toronto
the imagery
yep. yes.
of the Orioles. Like, until you pass the Orioles in something, and I know on ESPN their little computer on the right side of the standings, like percentage to make the playoffs.
Got it.
Red Sox is significantly higher than the Orioles. It's like 15% compared to like 7% or something.
Yeah, the Orioles arguably traded their best hitter, Trey Mancini, at the deadline, and they're still winning games.
But until you pass the Orioles in the standings, I really can't take you seriously. I really can't. Now, I know everybody will say, you know, you're giving all the pitching numbers and everything.
Sure.
It's the Pirates. Well, it was the Yankees. It was the Yankees trending into the Pirates.
Correct.
So you got a good lineup that may not be a good lineup right now, but they are the Yankees. They can score. It's Judge and company. And, yeah, I know he had a bomb in one of those games. But and you're doing now against the Pirates. I don't know. I wanna try to believe, but I keep calling them the Justin Herons, the false starters. Every time I think I want to believe in the Red Sox, it's a false start. Like, how many times are we going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe, right? Like, what are we doing here?
The Justin Herons. What a good burn on him as well. By the way, I don't think he's out there today.
No. I wouldn't worry about him.
Isaiah Wynn.
He peaked. Uh-huh. He peaked.
Well, he's on the roster, too. That's the other thing. They're not getting rid of that guy.
And are you now, like, I feel like, I don't know if anxiety is the word or, like, anticipation. Football is a sport inherently where men bang into each other in groups,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
But now I watch every group to see which group is going to be. It's like we're in a drought, and if you get a spark, it's going to be a forest fire. I watch every little group coming together, like, which one is going to, like, where's the match? Where's the spark? Which one's going to turn into something?
and it probably won't turn into anything the rest of the day.
Yeah, I would. You would like to think it's going to calm down, considering both coaches gave a tongue lashing. So the Red Sox are in Pittsburgh once again tonight. It is the middle of a three-game set. A 6:10 pregame right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI, Red Sox Network, where the Red Sox are four back of Toronto for the final wild card spot. And looking up in the standings, it goes Chicago, Minnesota, Baltimore. Those are three teams that you would never think the Red Sox would be trailing at any point this year, but yet this is where we are at. And when you get good starting pitching, you got a chance to win. And right now, that's the Red Sox. We'll see kind of how long they can sort of ride this train. And who knows, maybe get them. I think for them, if they can get to, in their mind, if they can get to within two of the final wild card by the end of the month, then you're at least in it and you got a chance, because you're going to match up against Toronto and Tampa and all these other teams.
Okay, I know I'm mocking the false starting Red Sox for the number of times they've teased me, but in addition to a
mocking.
A little bit. In addition to the Pivetta performance,
yeah.
Do you take anything from Matt Barnes? Are you building any faith actually having a closer as you try to pursue important baseball games that may have high leverage situations?
I think Whitlock might end up settling into that closer role, but if Matt Barnes can come out and just not soil himself,
be an option,
then you'll take it, right?
Because we've talked all year about Cora being limited in his options, hands being tied.
Yep.
Various points, it felt almost like the Ron Renicky era Red Sox, where like he's basically saying, "What do you want me to do? I got nobody to put out there." Cora had his hands tied to some degree. Just if you get Whitlock, if you get Barnes, you feel comfortable putting him out there level
at some point,
right?
Minus going to
Toronto. Okay, now maybe you're piecing it together. You get the starting pitching. I think everybody has always kind of believed in the lineup because you have Devers and Bogarts. Now you've filled some holes theoretically with Hosmer and Pham.
Yep,
like. Okay, I see reasons, but again, you fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three. At some point,
you're not going to slip on the banana peel every time.
Sooner or later, you actually have to do something. Speaking of doing something, Kenny Robinson, I think, has an interesting distinction for the Carolina Panthers.
And
being thrown from practice consecutive days here at Gillette Stadium. So clearly he was involved, I think, in the Wilkerson thing.
Does not make sense.
He just walked off here with a member of their football operations staff. So I don't think I've ever seen that before. Same player ejected 2 days in a row from joint practice.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
that'd be impressive if that's a feather in his cap. But I also
now no joint practice tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's kind of an off day to get ready for the preseason game.
Correct. So yes, he will not have the three for opportunity. And I checked down with the hubbub in the tent, our guy Giardi.
Oh God!
I guess there was some dispute for those who saw it as to whether Wilkerson was a concussion, head knocked out kind of thing, or a non-contact injury kind of thing, but the non-contact injury thing wouldn't really make any sense in terms of why did it start a brawl
ruckus
afterwards.
Yeah,
right? So
unless it was something egregious like a push from behind where he was trying to hurt someone,
or stood over and said something once he's hurt,
right?
Maybe it was a verbal
something like that.
But so it looks like Wilkerson is gone. It looks like Dietrich Wise is gone, Kenny Robinson, and I was also told that a Hubbard was gone, and I don't even know who the hell.
Chuba Hubbard, number 30.
He was gone. Okay, Chuba Hubbard. Apparently he's gone as well, so those were some of the ramifications for day two of fight night at Gillette Stadium.
Well, there we go. Pass blocking drills are kind of going on as we speak, and I know the teams will come together for some 11-on-11 here, and we'll see if the tempers flare once again at that. It is Wednesday. That means it's What If Wednesday. Lanny will walk us through our What Ifs this Wednesday next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.